On Wednesdays, we've been taking a look at the enemies of Israel, and we go back to our theme passage, our text passage, a springboard passage, Psalm 83, and we've wrapped up with taking a look at the extent of the mention of Tyre, the city-state of Tyre there. And now we come to down to this last one that is mentioned here in verse number 6. The psalmist, Brother Asaph, lists these, the tabernacles of Edom in verse number 6, the Ishmaelites, Moab, and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines, with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher is mentioned next, also is joined with them. They have Holpen, the children of Lot. Lot's children, we've taken a look at them, but Asher remains. Asher, that when we see that in the scripture, it's talking about Assyria, which is different than Syria. And so it's a greater span. And over the course of our study about Assyria, I'll look to give you a map to where you can have an understanding of the region and the range of Assyria, quite a large nation. We'll be looking to put some other things together and other references in a different way to Assyria in the scriptures as we go. But relative to Assyria, there's some hallmark passages. Some of those, if you will, no part of the Bible is more important than others, but we do have accounts in the scripture that stand out unto us. And so with Assyria, we're going to run into those. Let's go, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2, and just want to point something out, and this is blatantly obvious. I'm going to state the obvious here, but just a point about our consideration, study of the scripture, and consideration as we study. You know, context is king, as Brother Philip Thomas has preached here before, and we need to understand that and know that context is king. We don't need to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible with open heart, open mind to hear from the Lord. But when we read the scripture, we need to, as we go and read, we need to learn the scripture, and we need to not just read it and take it in with an idle mind and just kind of like our mind out of gear, if you will. We need to be paying attention. And so I want to pose something here to you, or just let's take a look at this. In Genesis chapter 2, speaking of this nation, great nation of Assyria, and I bring you this for two reasons. Understand how we need to consider context and the writing in the scripture, and also for us to learn about how great a nation and how long of a time span the nation of Assyria has. In chapter 2, we have here in chapter 1, the creation mentioned in general. In verse number 1 of Genesis 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, everything related to it. On the seventh day, the Lord rested, And he blessed the seventh day in verse number 3. Verse 4, these are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heaven, the earth, and the heavens. Talking about the plants of the field there in verse number 5. And then we come to verse 6, the mists. There was a mist that went up until the day of the flood, the time of the flood. That's how the Lord watered the face of the earth, no rain. That's where we get that. He tells about the creation of man and how he formed him from the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And he provided a place for Adam, for man. And the Lord God, verse 8 in chapter 2 of Genesis, planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every green tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Okay, so there's a river that goes out of Eden. It comes into four heads, four different tributaries. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. And there is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Ahitakel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. So here we have the scripture telling us about Eden, telling us about this the river that goes out of Eden and its division into four heads. And what do you think about these mention of these lands and nations? Does this mean that the lands and nations mentioned, amongst whom Assyria is listed, were in the day of the Garden of Eden? No. We got to think, okay, they did not pass and come through the flood, okay? But Moses is giving this reference in the day that he's writing, okay? So he's writing on this side of the flood, and however much time it was from Noah, I'm sketchy on that time frame. I'm going to take a guess of about, I won't take a guess of how many years it is. At Moses' point of writing Genesis and the other four books of the Pentateuch that he wrote, he's making a reference for the time that he lives. And so what do we see in that? At the time that Moses is writing, after the delivering of the children of Israel out of Egypt, Assyria, at the time that he's writing, so that's within 40 years of when they came out of Egypt, Assyria is a great nation. Assyria is a nation then, okay, or at least a land, and it's occupied and ruled by people. We've touched on Assyria at times before. Genesis chapter 25, let's take a look over here. There is a reference. I think we've touched on it before in Genesis chapter 25. This is relative to Abraham is being talked about here in Ishmael in verse number 12 of Genesis 25. It tells here in the scripture about Ishmael's descendants, his sons. And we come here to, let's read from verse number 17. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 130 and 7 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah. Okay, we've heard that over there. Brother Moses was writing about Havilah. That's where the gold is good and those other precious gems and metals. Unto Shur, that is before Egypt or near Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. So that's where we have a first mention of Assyria in Moses' day, and then a mention again about the descendancy of Ishmael living and the descriptor of where they're at. And we've seen some of that. We saw where the Hagarenes are very much a possibility of descendancy and connection with Ishmael, or children of his mother as she went and left the presence of Abraham and went on. Something connected in through there, seemingly being on the east side of the River Jordan in general. And so, those references early on. Then we don't hear about Assyria for a long time. It's a long time before we hear about Assyria. And let me give you this. This is my gift to you tonight, okay? Brother Mark, if you would pass these out. And let me give you a few more here. All right, Brother Bobby, would you mind passing them out on this side, brother? I'm going to give you this. It's a listing of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah when the kingdom was divided. Okay, and so it's a study. I thought I'd done a study on that way back when, and turns out I did. And had this chart. And so I wanted to make a copy of that, get a copy of that for you. And what this chart does for you for us. It tells us all the kings in order of Judah from the divided kingdom. Okay, Solomon, Saul reigned, and David reigned, and then Solomon reigned. And because of Solomon's sin and disobedience and wickedness, the kingdom was divided. It was divided into the northern 10 tribes or so, and the southern 2 tribes. And Benjamin is gobbled up in Judah because I think Benjamin, if my memory serves me right, Benjamin's kind of surrounded by Judah. And so that's the reason that ended up in that division. And so we have all the kings of Judah from Rehoboam, Solomon's son, and then Solomon's servant Jeroboam was ordained to the Lord to be the king of Israel, the northern tribes, and we see all the kings of Israel listed there into the captivity. I've got Israel on the left because Israel went into captivity before Judah did. And here you see the years of their reign. You have a scripture reference there for their reign. And we have an indication about whether they were good kings or evil kings. And look over there in Israel. They were all evil kings. Then you have the scripture reference there that tells you that God said that they were evil. Okay? Not just my opinion. But those scripture references are there. And then we have the kings of Judah. And some of them were evil and some of them were good, according to the testimony of the Lord, and then passages relating to such. This is an example about how to, another example about how to do a study in the scriptures. A lot of different ways you can study. We've talked about those in the past. Not every way of studying is everybody's cup of tea. You know, you might prefer one method or one way of studying over another preferred by someone else. But pick a subject. And then take the word of God and wring it out, and get the scriptures. Don't try to commit them to memory, but get them written down or put them in your word processor or that, or just some way to a notebook. Get your notebook and divide that notebook and skip a few pages. Write down you another subject that the Lord stirs you up about. And then as you read and as you hear preaching and teaching, as you study yourself, you can take references to that particular subject in that notebook, say, or that document on your computer or on your device or whatever, and just take that subject and find out what the Word of God says about it. And so that's what this chart is a result of, is just getting a handle on all of these kings of Judah and Israel after the reign of Solomon. Okay? So I wanted to give you this as a reference so we could have we could throw this in and have this as part of our consideration as we can look at Assyria. We're going to bring other things into it. There's other going to be other subjects brought into it and other encouragement and warning and such as that. But we wanted to have this so we could have it as a reference in this consideration. We look here at first, the next reference of Assyria, 2 Kings chapter 15. 2 Kings chapter 15. Understand that the books of 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles are books that go together. They have been referred to in days gone by by Bible copiers and publishers and such as that is the four books of the Kings. But we in our King James translation have them as 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And that's what they do. They chronicle the events that the Lord inspired those men to write about for our admonition. All right? These things happened unto Israel and are accounted in the Scriptures so you and I might learn and might know. And so the next from Moses' reference to Assyria, as late as in the day regarding Ishmael, we have to go all the way down to 2 Kings chapter 15 and the fourth. So I've got this somewhat in order by the scripture, Israel being considered first. But in 2 Kings chapter 15, we'll pick it up in verse number 13. We're dealing with Assyria relative to Menahem, the king of Israel, the fourth from the end. So We don't hear anything about Assyria during the days of David. We don't, or Saul. We don't hear about the kings of Assyria in the days of Solomon in the scriptures, nor all these other ones. Assyria's over there and stays away, or is doing their own thing, the Lord protecting his nation from them. But we see here in the demise of Israel that Assyria is very instrumental in his judgment and chastisement upon one of these daughters of Israel. Okay, that's a reference that you'll see in the scriptures. To the Lord refers in an allegory as the divided kingdom, Israel and Judah, as two daughters, two sisters. And he describes about their relationship and what they watched happen one to another and so on. And so in 2 Kings 15, verse number 13, Shallum, the son of Jabesh, began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah. And so you'll see this also as cross-reference. And so you can go over here to the Judah list, and about halfway down you see brother Uzziah. Okay, and he reigned 52 years. So that lines up. If we took this chart and put it on a bigger sheet of paper, we'd kind of shift this one of Israel up to line it up with those kings in Judah. And those references to time across the two different divided kingdoms helps us account for timing and order and is part of some of the understanding that we have, gets connected to some of the understanding that we have from the scriptures about the age of the earth. It's related in there, okay? So all these things go together. So study, study, study. Read, read, read. Feed, feed, feed on the Word of God and put it in you. And in time, the Lord will take things and put them together for us. But we've got to avail ourselves to it. And if you just do so at services, I guarantee you it's not going to be enough. It's just not going to be enough. You need to consume the Word of God yourself. So he began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah. And he reigned a full month in Samaria, which was the headquarters of Israel. For Menahem, the son of Gadai, went up from Tirzah, and came to Samaria and smote Shallum, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria and slew him and reigned in his stead. So you can see here, and I'm going to butcher his name, Menahem. You see Shallum before him. Look there, he only reigned 1 month. And look at the bloodiness of it. He killed him so he could reign. And the rest of the acts of Shallum and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So that's a reference that you see often. It points over to there. Then Menahem smote Tiphsah and all that were therein, and the coast thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were therein with child he ripped up. He was a brutal, brutal, wicked man. Verse 17, in the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menahem, the son of Gadai, to reign over Israel. So you have a different name there, right? Well, you look over here, the listing of the kings of Judah, and Uzziah and Azariah are one and the same name, or different names for the same king. So we have to flush those things out. It takes work. Takes time, sometimes takes helps and such for us to understand that and see that clearly. And reigned 10 years in Samaria, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not at all, and not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. That is a common statement regarding most, if not all, of the kings of Israel. Take a look there at the listing of the kings of Israel on the left. Who's at the top of the list? Jeroboam. And you know what? He had a fine opportunity to take the mess that was at hand in regards to Solomon. But you know what? He was afraid. He was afraid he was going to lose what he had. And he went in his own wisdom. And the thing is, you know what Jeroboam forgot quickly? He forgot that God gave him those 10 tribes. He forgot it. And he forgot who gave them to him, and he forgot who could take them away from him, and he forgot who could keep it for him. Because if God did it for him, it's in the Lord's hands, right? I mean, all things are in the Lord's hands. But this man, he sought his own device in his own way. And listen to the testimony that rings on through the ages regarding this man that would not hear and would not heed the word of God. He departed regarding Menahem. He departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. Jeroboam set up two calves, one in Dan and one in Bethel. He set up two calves because he said, you know what? If the people of those ten northern tribes, if they go down to Jerusalem annually, all the men that are supposed to appear before the Lord two or three times in the year, said, I'm going to lose my hold. And so you know what he did? Is he took and he made idols and said, here's where you worship. You know what? We need to trust our Lord. We need to trust our Lord and know that we are in his hands and not grapple and politic and scratch and carry on to hang on to what the Lord's given us. We need to be obedient to our Lord. That's what we need to do, is be obedient to him and glorify him in all. Verse 19, and Pul, there's a good name for you, Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land. And Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might not be with him to confirm, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menahem exacted the money of Israel, even all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver, to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land. And the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? You'll see that reference too. And it's a question. It's like, well, you know that, don't you? I mean, that's where they're written. You know that. And Menahem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his stead. So you see the next listing there. We don't have any other word from the scripture and about Assyria until we come down here, not to Pekahiah, okay, but to Pekah, the next one that ruled after him. We see Menahem, his son, Pekahiah, reigned 2 years, okay, but then we see Pekah reigning 20. And so we'll pick that up here in verse number 23. In the 15th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, began to reign over Israel, and Samaria, and reigned 2 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. There it is again. But Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, okay, so here, not in the kingly line, but one of his own army, one of his captains, conspired against him and smote him in Samaria. So just now, see these fellas, they're looking to hang on and to rule and reign by hook and by crook and by deception and deceit and of their own device. There's no character in it. There's no godliness in it. There's no seeking the Lord and submitting to him. And so this son of one of his captains, or him captain himself, conspired and kills him. And so Pekah kills Pekahiah in the palace of the king's house with Argob and Arei, and with 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and reigned in his room. Verse 26. And the rest of the acts of Pekahiah, the previous king, and all that he did, behold, are they written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. 27. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, so there's that cross reference, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel and Samaria. He reigned 20 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. It's becoming it's a theme, isn't it, in Israel? In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser. Tiglath-Pileser. If we have anybody that's going to look to have some children, there's a good name for you. Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon and Abel-Beth-Maacah and Janoa and Kedesh, and Hazor, and Gilead, and Galilee. Now, Gilead is over on the east side of the Jordan. Galilee's typically, we refer to it over on the west side of the Jordan, up north of the way we think about the scriptures more is Judea and Samaria, you know, New Testament reference, and then Galilee up north. This is before there is the Samaria of the New Testament scriptures. Samaria is there, but what happened in Samaria to make Samaria what it was in the New Testament scriptures hasn't happened yet. We'll touch on that. All the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. Verse 30, and Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and smote him and slew him and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. So then again, that reference over here to the timing in Judah. And the rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. So we have here Assyria being used to chastise Israel and bring them down. Here, a wicked king reigning and losing more ground, losing people, to have people taken off into captivity and this assailing of them. We see about the Pekahiah, the king before him, how he took a tax, he levied a tax or extortion from his own people to pay off the Assyrian king, pull to get him to go away. But Tiglath-Pileser, he forgot all about that, didn't he? And he came and took what he wanted. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, we want to take a look over here, and this is just some, it's seed for another study and just a good rabbit to chase, just so we might know about these things in the scripture. But we just want to make reference to this in the scripture and see what it says here regarding this Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 1. Now the sons of Reuben, okay, Reuben is the firstborn of brother Isaac, or brother Jacob, isn't he? Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, or Jacob, for he was the firstborn. Listen to this. But forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, he went into one of Jacob's concubines, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel. Okay? Isn't that something? The birthright. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. So there's, he still is the firstborn. Can't change that. But his birthright was forfeited because of his wickedness and what he did with his father's wife. So we have that mention there, and it's interesting. For Judah prevailed above his brethren. So we have this about Judah, and Judah's like fourthborn, sixthborn, somewhere in through there. Judah's on down the line in the age of the sons of brother Jacob, and he is part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. And so those things are mentioned there. And that's interesting. I don't know if I knew it was there. Surely I've read over it before, but I forgot that it was there or didn't know it at all. But I thought that that was interesting, and it'd be interesting to delve into that regarding Reuben. And then when we see the division of the kingdom, see the division of Israel, who is it that's in the south? Who is it that keeps Jerusalem, that Jerusalem is within? Who is it that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come from? Judah. The line of the tribe of Judah. And Judah has some, Judah had times that he was pretty sorry in some of the things that he did, but he became a leader amongst his brethren and a leader in the nation. Anyway, we go on here in verse number 3. The sons, I say, of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, were Hanok and Palelu, Hezron and Carmi, the sons of Joel, Shimei, his son, Gog, his son, Shimei, his son, Micah, his son, Reaiah, his son, and Baal, his son, Bera, his son, whom Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, carried away captive. He was prince of the Reubenites. So we see a genealogy here listed of Reuben. And we have one of his descendants that was in the day when Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came and took those cities. Remember how we read about those here in regards to Pekah and when he reigned in 2 Kings 15? Evidently, when he came in and did that raiding, he carried away Reuben's ancestor that was a chief amongst the tribe of Reuben. And so we see that effect and a listing there that gives us some connection. Verse number 7, and his brethren by their families, when the genealogy of their generations was reckoned, were the chief, Jeiel and Zechariah, and Bela, the son of Azaz, the son of Shema, the son of Joel, who dwelt in Aor, even unto Nebo, and Baal Meon. And eastward he inhabited unto the entering of the wilderness of the river Euphrates. So that is a good ways east. Reuben and they were cattle keepers that weren't they? They were amongst the tribes that wanted to be on the east side of the Jordan, and they went and worked way on over to the east. Expanded greatly. And eastward he inhabited Reuben unto the entering of the wilderness from the river Euphrates, because their cattle were multiplied in the land of Gilead, which is to the east of Jordan closer. And in the days of Saul, they made war with the Hagarites. Okay, and we've touched on that. The Hagarites, if we got that right, the same as the Hagarenes, descendants of Hagar, are connected with Ishmael. Okay, and so they clashed there. Who fell by their hand, and they dwelt in their tents throughout all the east land of Gilead. And so a reference there regarding Reuben, his descendancy, and the leader of Reuben, the tribe of Reuben, in the days of this Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, when he took him captive, as we read earlier regarding Pekah, king of Israel. We need a whiteboard, don't we? Yeah, we need a scorecard, if you will. In this same chapter, let's go down here and let's read some verses here at the end of the chapter. Verse number 23. And the children of the half-tribe of Manasseh dwelt in the land. They increased from Bashan to Baal Hermon and Senir unto the Mount Hermon and unto Mount Hermon. And these were the heads of the house of their fathers, even Epher and Ishai and Eliel and Azareel and Jeremiah and Hod Aviah and Jehadiel, mighty men of valor, famous men, and the heads of the house of their fathers. And they transgressed against the God of their fathers and went a-whoring after the gods of the people of the land, whom God destroyed before them. And so, remember how the Lord warned, We're seeing, taking a look about that, or made mention of that Sunday in the message there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, something like that. The chapter that lists in 14 verses the blessings of the Lord upon an obedient nation, and then lists in some 40 odd verses the cursing of the Lord upon a disobedient nation, Brother Moses preaching to them. And so in this, and what we read earlier, the God of Israel, verse 26, and the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, who we read earlier in the times of Menahem, and the spirit of Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, and he carried them away, even the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half a tribe of Manasseh, and brought them into Halah and to Habor and to Hara and to the river Gozan until this day. And so at the time of the writing of the Chronicles, so that gives us a hint about when it was written. It was written in the time of these kings here. They took from the records of the kings, and the Lord inspired those men to get it, to make it ultimately part of the canon of Scripture, the Old Testament Scripture, that would be preserved and brought all the way to this day. We know that we don't have everything that was accounted and recorded about all the kings, but we do have this. And in the day of the writing of the book of Chronicles, it was still the case, is that they were in captivity. So it gives us a hint about when it was that these men were impressed of the Lord, moved by the Lord to make these writings and do this. Next time we're going to go and see Tilgath-Pilneser, the king of Assyria, and his effect on the Ahaz, the king of Judah. And so you can see him over here a little bit more than halfway down the list, ruled for 16 years. And we're going to see his raiding and his tormenting and being used of the Lord to be a chastiser and a corrector of even the nation of Judah, the divided nation of Judah. When I was a kid, I cared nothing for history. All I was interested is in making some history, and not learning about history. You know, these kind of things, we have to purpose our hearts and our minds to take them and grab a hold of them, and asking our Lord continually what it is that He wants us to see out of this. Because see, it's in the Scripture, it's in the book. And if it's in the book, we need it, and it can be a help to us. And so when we're tempted to be bored, and I pray, I don't want to bore you to tears, I pray that we can get some edification from it and some instruction from it. But we need to pray that together, that the Lord would help us to see what He has for us in including these passages and these references to these people in the Scriptures. We need to learn. One thing that we do know and do learn is, once again, I've said it a lot, but it's the truth, don't be found an enemy of the Lord. Don't be found an enemy of Israel. It will not profit in any wise. It will go nowhere. The enemies of Israel, all these enemies, all these wicked kings of Israel and the wicked kings of Judah, the unrepentant and the unbelieving of the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord that had been revealed in that day, they rejected it. I tell you what, all those that were unrepentant and rejecting the word of the Lord in that day, they're there in hell right now. They're there in hell today. But those that believed, you're going to see a wonderful account about a king of Judah that was wicked. But you know what? The Lord got a hold of him and got his attention, and he repented, and the Lord saved that wicked king, even a wicked king. The Lord can save even the worst of sinners, but he only does so by repentance. There's got to be repentance before the Lord, an admission to guilt and a desire to turn away and seeing the condemnation of that sin and that wickedness against God that it's deserved. And a repenting of that, a turning away of that and turning to the Lord. And of course, we know, you and I know, in our day, we understand the Lord's revealed it. The salvation's found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God that was working even in these days, in these kings and in those repentant and those that he convicted, and that we have good accounts about them. We'll see some of them too, good accounts and the blessing and the rescue of the Lord, where they had faith in the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave out of this life. Don't leave out of this world being the enemy of God. But repent of your sins and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. He's promised he'll save.